You're on.
All right, this is a special meeting of the Finance Committee of the Newton Board of Aldermen. It's Monday, June 1st, 2009. We're meeting at 7 o'clock to deal with some first call items, Finance Committee first call items, and that we want to refer out under suspension of the rules to the board. These are items not admitting of delay. And since we have only one meeting where we can take action in June, the comptroller and the mayor's office asked if we could take these items up tonight prior to the board meeting. Present at the start of the meeting, we have Alderman Salvucci, Alderman Lennon, Alderman Schnipper, and Chairman Colletti. Why don't we just quickly get these first call items, and then we'll go to the only one that's going to be docketed for discussion. But there's a group of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 items, first call items. I'm going to read them off just briefly into the record, and if anyone has any questions, let me know. If not, the report that was submitted attached to the backup by Dave Wilkinson, these are items that he recommends approval on. First one, 19707, parens 4, is honor the mayor for the purpose of clearing the books for FY09, that board order 196073 be amended by rescinding the balance of $25 that remains in the authorized but unissued debt for bonds issued on April 2009. That's a very bookkeeping item. It's on first call. 14809 is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $90,260 from capital stabilization for the purpose of paying issuance costs related to the sale of bonds in March of 2009. The next item, 14909, this is his honor the mayor, a transfer of $12,000 from unemployment in human resources to legal services. An additional $4,000 from unemployment to human resource consultants. These transfers will allow the Human Resources Department to pay legal and consulting fees related to multiple pending arbitrations. There's an increase in the transfer in unemployment, human resources, and legal from $16,000 to $25,000. So instead of the $16,000, there's a letter actually asking that the item be increased to $25,000.
Paul, can I just ask a question on that?
Sure.
I mean, there's not a lot of backup for it.
Yeah.
But the question that I had was, I had talked to some members of the fire department, and one of the concerns I have is that some of these arbitration cases that they were talking about were that, again, I don't see it in a lot of the backup, but, they had arbitration with cases with individuals who were supposed to come back to work, and or if they've been injured on the job, how that was working out, and that the city waited so long in order to, they had asked that the individuals to settle the case. The city had said, no, we want to go to arbitration. They keep going all the way up to the last day, and then the day before, they would cancel the arbitration and say, we want to settle the case. So because of the time frame is so late, the city has to end up paying for the arbitrator. And is that considered an unforeseen circumstance, that they waited that long and then the city's on the hook to pay the bill?
Even though they don't go before an arbitrator?
And they don't, because then they end up saying, well, after reviewing it for 10 months, and asking to settle, we said, no, we want to go to arbitration. And then it seems like, when push came to shove at the very end, the city finally said, no, we'll settle.
That's so, how 90% of the legal cases in the United States get settled the day of
going
to court.
But it seems like we're on the hook to pay, where if they had settled somewhere within the 10 months, they wouldn't have had to pay the arbitrator.
I mean, did anyone tell you how much the actual, if it's, I don't know how much.
I'm getting a lot of that information, because I think a lot of it plays into the other item, the $88,000 we're being asked for fire overtime, that I'm not going to support once I get the details. I can share it with the committee. But at this point in time, from what I understand, I wanted to have the documentation so I could bring it up with the chief. I just feel that some of that overtime money is being driven by the fact that we're not letting individuals back on the job who have gotten documentation from their own doctor to say that they're physically fit to return to work. And if that's the case, and then the city says, well, you're physically fit to come back to work per your doctor, we want to have our doctor check you out, we can't get an appointment for 3 weeks, that's three tours that the city's paying overtime on. So I have a concern with some of that. I mean, You know, historically, we've been told that the department's driving up the overtime costs, and to me, it seems like the city's playing a role in that now, and that being asked for additional money to fund the overtime.
I mean,
that's a separate item. But
we don't have to pass this. We can take the, we can hold this and take this up next week on the 8th, next Monday.
Well, I don't necessarily, I'm not going to be able to be here on the 8th, so I don't want to, I just want people to be aware, and I wanted to provide some information to the committee when I get it, hopefully, this week.
Well, why don't we hold it and let have the chief come in and explain it?
That's fine. I mean, I don't, I understand it probably has to be paid.
Well, what do you want to do on the 149? Are you okay with that, or do you want to hold that and have Dolores come in
I'd
and
like
talk
to,
about?
I'd like to understand that.
Or I mean, we can approve it and have her come in anyway.
However you want to handle it is fine. I'm not trying to be an obstructionist here, but I just think that there's some things relating to some of these costs that we're not understanding.
Well, why don't we do this? We owe this, so we got to pay this.
Right.
So we might as
that's
well. So why don't
thing, but
why don't we have her come in and we'll have a discussion with her next week about arbitration and
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, that's fine. If the committee would do that, I'm not going to be in town, so I can get all the information and get it to you. I'm just concerned that you know a lot of times what happens is we're throwing the money at this, and maybe there's a reason that we could have saved some of this money.
Well, are you expecting to report these out tonight?
Yep. Yeah, I mean that was the request. They wanted these are the things they wanted to clear up before the end of the year.
Well, the next one he's talking about is not crucial.
149. Well, let's see. 113.09 is in honor of the mayor requesting to transfer $75,000 from unemployment to the municipal workers' comp medical account for purpose of recent medical procedures that were more costly than anticipated. That's typical. So we're transferring it from the municipal workers' compensation medical account from unemployment. So obviously there's money left over from unemployment money that didn't have to be paid this year. So they want to use it for the workers' comp fund. The next one, 129, is it's Community Preservation Committee requesting transfer of $2,600 into the administrative budget from personnel to other costs. Current year FY09 administrative budget from personnel to other costs.
I don't understand the other costs. Unless it's getting a backup.
Yeah, it says something about engineering services and something else. That it's not a part of the appropriation.
Subsidizing legal and engineering services to printing and advertising accounts. A vote of the Board of Aldermen is necessary for this transfer because funding for legal and engineering services is not included within the expense appropriation unit. Fiscal 2009 budget included $60,000 for legal and engineering services. To date, the Community Preservation Committee has approved $5,201 in engineering services charges and $13,875 in legal services, leaving an unobligated balance of $40,924.
Doesn't cover the whole cost.
It says here, fiscal year 2009 budget included $60,000 for legal services. To date, they've only spent $5,000. They've only spent a total of $80,000. They still have $40,000 in, if I'm reading this correctly.
Yeah, but it's supposed to go to the printing and advertising.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the one that's short.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay. So it's being transferred
from legal and
engineering into printing and advertising. Okay. And then the next one is the Veterans Service Agent. This is 114.09 is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $13,000 from budget reserve for the purposes of supplementing the FY09 appropriation for veterans benefits. Note, a letter from Zona of the Mayor was received on 5/26 requesting to increase the benefit by $3,000 to a total of $16,000. So 13 has been changed to 16. Then the last one was 115.09, Zona of the Mayor requesting authorization to accept and authorize the expenditure of reimbursement grant in the sum of $85,000 from Mass Highway to the Fire Department for purpose of replacing fire communications equipment in conjunction with the reconstruction of Commonwealth Avenue. So there's no overtime money being asked for tonight.
That's an item that was passed by public safety that hasn't been taken up by this.
Yeah, we haven't taken.
That's what I'm just. That was the one I was mentioning. Right.
So this is an additional a reimbursement grant, $85,000 to go into additional communication equipment for ComEv station.
Right. The one I was talking about is on page 3. It hasn't been taken up yet.
So if you're not going to be here, then we need to do it at the next meeting. So maybe if you can let me know what you want to do.
If you want to pass these, that's fine, and I can just abstain, and I can get you the information for the discussion. I just have a problem with, again, if I read Dave's explanation in the first call report, it says, unforeseen and extraordinary legal and consulting fees, but it seems to me if you have an arbitration case and you're talking about it for a long period of time, how does it end up being extraordinary and unforeseen? And then at the last minute you cancel the arbitration, you say you want to settle, and then we're picking up the tab. Again, I don't have detail or backup to what any of that money is. I see a request from Dolores, I see a request from the mayor's office, but we don't have any of that backup. And I just think that the committee should know about it, that's all.
I'm not condoning the way it's handled, but I mean, we share the cost, don't we?
I don't know how it works.
I think we share the cost with the union.
We do, but if one side is pushing to settle it very early on, and then if it got canceled at an appropriate point in time, neither side would have to pay for it.
Right.
Right. So.
So they go to the
arbitrator if you're not going
to. So they go to the bitter end, and then they got to pay the arbitrator anyway. Now it doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm trying to get once that again, I mean, information detail for us to.
Well, I mean, we can do something. The only thing I could ask you to do, Scott, is that if we take 149.09 and we hold that one, and then ask Dolores to provide you the backup. And I'll have it on the agenda for Friday, for next Monday night.
Right.
And if for some reason the backup information you're not satisfied with by Friday,
right,
then it'll get held.
Okay.
And we'll see what has to happen. Maybe the arbitrator won't get paid for a while, and it'll be. But I imagine the bill has to be paid before the end of the year.
All right.
Yep. So I'll call Dolores, and at the same time you call her,
right,
and get the backup information and the explanation. I'd like to know how many arbitration cases that happened.
Right.
I mean, we could have had as many as 30, 40 of these, and if only one or two, then I can. But if it's 25 out of 30 or 35,
I don't have all the details.
Well, let's see if we can. I mean, I'm sure she's got them. So. So on the only thing I'll end on first call, we'll take up all the items except 149.09, which will be held for next Monday night.
So that's okay. Starting with 197.07 parens 4 on down.
Yeah, I'm gonna move 197.07 parens 4, 148.09. I'm gonna recommend hold for 149.09. And then I'm going to move 113.09, 129.09, 114.09, and 115.09. Is there anyone that has any question on them? If not, those in favor? Alderman Parker and Alderman Gentile are here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor of those actions. 6, 0, 0,
Quigman and Johnson.
2. 6002. The hold on this other one is 6002. And all the rest of these are 6002. And now that takes us back to the first item, 131.09. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend from budget reserve the sum of $80,000 for the purpose of upgrading the automatic temperature control system at the library. So under the mayor, a letter was received on 5/12 requesting the funding source be changed from budget reserve to capital stabilization. Public facilities approved 7-0 on 5/20. Josh, you want to tell us about it? I asked Arthur, and I did submit a list of some of the costs for the HVAC system over at the library. I just wanted to get a handle on how much. It didn't seem to be excessive, but at the same time, I just wanted to know how much money we've put into that system.
Yeah.
And it seems to have been a reliable system. I mean, we got a really good break on that when Boston Edison, subsidized the cost of that chiller. It was a $600,000 chiller that was put in, but I just wanted to get a sense of how much it's costing us to maintain it after the fact.
Yeah, ice bank systems are great. They really do save an awful lot of money, especially in the long run. The initial investment typically is high, which is why a lot of places kind of shy from it. But the flip side is, yes, you save a lot in utility costs, but it is a slightly higher upkeep based on the equipment that you're using.
Is it a good system?
Oh, it's a good system.
I mean, the one that we have. I mean, is it functioning?
It's functioning fine, yes. There's no major issues with the system other than what I'm looking to replace here. The utility costs look good. Your square foot costs look good. Obviously, anybody that's been in the library knows that it definitely can cool the building. It's a very good system. The only thing I would say against it is the time in which it came out. It was kind of state-of-the-art at the time, so some of the bugs weren't completely worked out. It's since been rectified, but this is kind of the last piece. Variable speed or variable frequency drives were kind of new age at that point, and they were not very reliable. A lot of places were lucky to get 10 years out of them, and we actually got more than that. So we're doing pretty good. The ones that they're putting in nowadays are so reliable that they've taken the hand operator switch right out of it. It just runs automatic. So these have all been operating in hand for quite a while now. What hand means is basically become an on-off switch. A variable speed or variable frequency drive is a device that controls the output of the motor and the fan assembly based on the demand. So what ends up happening is that instead of running at 100%, if the demand is a fraction of that, it may be at 20%. And it'll vary that speed or the frequency, which then reduces the draw and your kilowatt hours in demand to meet that demand. We're talking about a pretty big piece of pie here because it's like 220 horse between the motors that we're looking at. So you basically, it's the equivalent of having 220 horses running 24/7. And these aren't premium efficiency motors. That's something that's come about since that installation. So what we're looking to do is both replace the variable speed drives for the units as well as the motors. I could have just done the variable speed drives. It would have had a much better payback, like a month. But the flip side is that because we've been operating these motors at 100% and turn them on and off, we really cycle them pretty good, and I don't want to come back in here 3 months from now and tell you that we're losing motors now. So I'm just going to do it once and do it right. And even with the motors, the payback is very, very lucrative. I'm expecting between 25 and 30% reduction in electricity at the library.
Wow.
And their annual electricity consumption is right around 300,000. So we're looking for a pretty good chunk here.
300,000 kilowatt hours?
$300,000.
Oh, okay.
So I'd like to reduce that by 75,000. It's my goal. And I was conservative because there's also going to be savings in your heating and cooling because when they're operating at 100%, you're drawing more cooling and you're drawing more heating. So,
anyone have any questions? Your committee approved it.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
There's a danger of it going down.
Oh yeah, no, that's done. That's what I heard. I mean, when I said to Arthur, I said, why wasn't this done? When we just did some previous work when we replaced the chiller lines and everything, and I just said, how much more do we not know about, that's waiting to be done over there? In other words, it seems like it's piecemeal. In other words, and I said, is this it? And he said, I think that, if we don't do this, we could lose the cooling during the summer. And I said, okay.
Yeah, you could. And what's going to happen is to give you an idea of what would happen is you wouldn't lose all cooling. What you would do is you would systematically lose air handlers, and there's like 7 or 8 to handle the library, so you'd have pieces start to shut down on you.
Right.
So you wouldn't lose it altogether, but it would become uncomfortable quickly in those areas.
We all talk about how important it is to have, this is one building that we can't allow not to keep the upkeep up on.
Right.
I thought after I talked to Arthur, I thought about it. I was touring the high school at the time that I was talking with him on the phone. And, so I was in awe at all the stuff going on over there. So when he called me about that, I automatically, oh, no. I mean, how bad is this going to be? And so, after I thought about it a while, I said, we can't let this building, fall into disrepair like the others. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Josh, do any of our other buildings have similar cooling systems to the library, or is this unique in the city?
This is unique in the city. It's the only one.
Is there a thought to using a similar system to this in the future, installing? You said it uses considerably less electricity than other systems?
It does. Sometimes initial cost is cost prohibitive. The only buildings that it would really apply to in this case would be the FAA, which we're getting the Noresco project on, and Newton North and Newton South, and I can't even imagine what the chiller would be like for an ice bank.
Well, I mean, let me ask the obvious question. We've got these window units here. City Hall, something you'd think about using a system like that?
I don't think so. We have the Noresco audit. I'm going to be working with them. I have been working with them. We started last week. We'll take a look at that. We are going to look at the efficiency of the window air conditioning units as opposed to doing maybe splits. But my gut feeling is that a full-scale cooling system for City Hall wouldn't be cost prohibitive.
Hmm. So. And in terms of the maintenance and upkeep of the system, is there anything that we should be doing on a quarterly or a regular basis for the
Actually, the main library is a little unique as well in that there is a maintenance contract that we go out for every year for the chiller, and then we also have maintenance requirements for Fraser Engineering to get in there. We're pretty strict with that because it is a more comprehensive and a more sophisticated system. We keep on top of it pretty well. This has been a little overdue, but it's because it's one of those things you can get by with. It becomes an on-off switch, which works, but only for so long.
Josh, what's your thinking as to whether we ought to consider maintenance contracts for other systems in the city? Is this a good experience using an outside contractor to maintain a system like that?
Well, of course it's good, but it's money. I mean,
right.
It all comes down to money. We'd love to perform 100% maintenance on everything in the city.
Right, but what I'm saying is, what's the cost benefit? Is it worth the money that we put into it in terms of performance?
It's a balance. Preventative maintenance is always a good thing, but there is a breaking point. There's a point at which you kind of overperform preventative maintenance and it costs more than you're getting out of it. So each building is unique, each piece of equipment is unique. It's based on age, life cycle analysis for each piece. So, but is spending more on preventative maintenance going to yield dividends in reduction in capital expenditures in the future? Yes. Now, to quantify that, you have to look at each building and each piece
right,
of equipment.
Which I guess we should do.
You're going to get a lot of that out of the Noresco project. They'll help identify some of these energy savings. And you can kind of correlate energy savings into preventative maintenance. So I think it'll start to open some doors for us.
Great. Thank you.
Well said.
I'll move it.
Yeah, it's moved by Alderman Salvucci. Those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I kind of remember doing this under
the money.
Emergency preamble.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't remember that. Are you shaking the head over there? Yes. I don't remember that.
I do.
We did something now.
Because we didn't want. We brought it up tonight. But otherwise, we're looking at a long amount of time.
Yeah, on the last page of the Public Facilities Committee report, it says, Alderman Albright moved approval of the item, including the change in funding source and an emergency preamble to allow the project to move forward as quickly as possible.
That's what I remember.
I'd be happy to move the emergency preamble here as well.
Because otherwise we wind up in a situation by the time we could do it that it would be well into the summer.
Yeah, all right. So that eliminates the 20-day waiting period.
Right.
So that's with emergency preamble. And the funding source has changed from budget reserve to capital stabilization.
We don't have to argue about that, do we?
No.
No, I think
capital stabilization is an appropriate funding source.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I mean, we didn't.
Well, budget reserve must be pretty lean.
It says right in the document.
Budget reserve has to be pretty lean at this point.
Well, I know we didn't vote for it on that.
Our public facilities didn't vote.
Yeah, because it had already been changed by the time.
Yeah, it's right here.
It wasn't changed.
It was.
Yeah,
Albright moved approval, including the change in funding source from budget reserve to capital stabilization.
Well, I thought we just went to the other. For the budget reserve.
No, because the letter was written on the 12th and you guys took it up on the 20th of May. All right, so we're all set. It's all approved. Motion to adjourn.
Yep.
Aye.
Everyone, 6 in favor.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for coming early.
That's true.